It's an identification process. People cut wires. You go up in an attic and you see extension cords used as wiring that they've done. It's amazing. And, you know, improper wiring will burn down a house in a heartbeat.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Atlanta Real Estate Investor Podcast. I am your host, Spencer Sutton. And I'm glad to be back here with you. You know, we took a little bit of time off, but we have committed to 2022. We're going to be releasing episodes and we want to bring experts on to the show to give you the absolute best, you know, I guess information or advice that we can possibly give you, both about the Atlanta market and then just about buying and investing in rental real estate anyway. I mean, and this is what this podcast is about, because we know we have a lot of investors that do buy properties in Atlanta, but we also know that they're buying properties in other places as well. So we know that, I mean, we have clients that do that. So to that end, talking about experts in their field, I've got a guest today that I want to introduce to everybody. I have got Craig Bingston here with us, and Craig is a part of our Evernest team. He heads up all of our renovations for the brokerage side of our business. So what does that mean? Well, the brokerage side of our business is where we buy properties for investors. And last year in 2021, we were part of 700 transactions. I don't think that Craig did 700 walkthroughs, but he did a lot. And so, Craig, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Man, we have seen a lot of each other over the past few weeks, haven't we?
It's actually kind of nice to have an interactive office, to be honest, after my last experience.
Yeah, it is. It's good. I mean, Craig, just to let you guys know, Craig and I drove to Jackson, Mississippi. We bought a house in Jackson, Mississippi. We shot a YouTube video. We're going through the renovation. So he walked us through the entire house. We talked about all the renovations. And it's almost done. It's almost completed. So we're about to go and shoot another episode there. So if you want to check out that property we bought in Jackson, Mississippi and hear more about it, you can check it out on our podcast. I mean, yeah, you can check it out on our main podcast, which is the Evernest Real Estate Investor, or check out our YouTube channel. It's Evernest, and you will find it. You'll find us walking around houses with Craig. So Craig, it's been great seeing you a lot lately and talking to you. And so today, though, we want to talk about, you know, you and I were just chatting briefly before we started recording. And so I want to hit on a couple of things that I think would be very, very helpful for investors. First, I'm going to ask you about your background, your history, why we think you're a tremendous asset to the company. And then I want to talk about potential renovation inspection mistakes that you see investors make all the time, just based on your experience. Because I think once we highlight these, then any of our listeners who are buying property, they'll hopefully pay attention and avoid some of these mistakes that we've seen. So Craig, why don't you tell us a little bit about just your background and history over the past several years.
About 5-6 years ago, I started a institutional investment firm with a couple partners of mine. We cobbled together a few million dollars from friends and family and bought approximately 75 homes, proved our thesis, and we went out for institutional money and raised about $35 million to buy homes. With that $35 million, we were able to bring our homes up to about 540 homes in 3 years. So we did a lot of renovations in 3 years. I was the director of renovations for the company. Had certainly a lot of successes, certainly a lot of lessons learned. I don't like to call them failures, because they are lessons that you have to repeat.
It's not winning and losing. It's winning and learning.
Yeah.
We're always learning.
And I came across everything.
Yeah,
there's not an issue I haven't seen in 538 houses.
Where were you buying these properties?
We had houses in Jackson, Mississippi, where a bulk of them were more of a B minus C minus spread of houses. We weren't in the B plus or A houses there. Birmingham, Alabama. We had a couple in Atlanta. We had 40 in Augusta. a few up in Columbia, South Carolina, one in Florida. We thought we were going to be successful in Florida and we weren't. And then quite a few up in Indianapolis. So we like to call it, we're up and down the Rust Belt, which is I-65, where all the manufacturing in America happens, kind of. I mean, a lot of the steel travels up and down from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great. That's definitely a lot of experience, you know, walking 500 and something houses.
You know, I walked 3,000 houses, if not.
Okay. Yeah. Because we're not even thinking about the ones y'all didn't buy. So looking back on that, you know, and I'm just kind of taking this off of what you just said. You said, you know, we talked about winning and learning or lessons learned. Give me one big takeaway from that experience.
It's knowing how to walk a house and knowing what to see. I could, you know, after seeing all those houses, I know I could go into the house and I could look around and say, this house is going to cost me X amount of dollars to renovate. But I still need to put it line item by line item. But there are things that I do and steps that I take before I even walk the house. One of the things I learned early on is I walked the house room by room without taking a picture, just to see the condition of the house and if there's anything I need to be aware of. I've had squatters in houses. I walked to the back of a house that was burnt out. I mean, it literally had a fire in it, and the wholesaler said, perfect house. And you walk to the back and there's a huge skylight. So you never know what you see. I came across a dead body one time that had been sitting there for quite a while. So safety and security is like kind of the first thing I do. I make sure the house is vacant, or if it's not vacant, that the occupants know that I'm there to inspect it. And, yeah. Just for my own safety, I don't want to get injured.
Yeah, no. I think that's a great way to do it. So before you waste all your time and energy, you know, walking and doing a line item list of repairs and inspecting really thoroughly, you're really just going and saying, hey, is there anything big that would cancel, you know, essentially disqualify this property from something we wanted to buy? So that's good.
Yeah, you know, especially in the wintertime, because you go into a vacant house that they didn't turn off the utilities or the water, and you go in the back and you walk into a shower of water. I mean, even in the South, we get frozen lines. So you could go into a house and it's going to have water damage. And in the South, if you have water and then it heats up, you're going to have that other issue that we don't like to say out loud, the MLS, the mold-like substance. It grows fast down here. So
it does.
Water is your enemy in rental homes, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The top three things that I look at when I look at a house are water related. It's yard drainage, roof drainage, you know, the all in one right there, your sewer line, and not having your utilities on. If you don't have your utilities on, you can't do an honest appraisal of the house.
Well, all right. Well, you're jumping ahead a little bit, so let's back up. So now, now that we have your experience, and it was great kind of learning that lesson, because I think that's something that every investor can do. Let's talk about what I want to do is I want to talk about three mistakes, and I just kind of made that number up, but you had them in your mind. Three mistakes that we see investors making when they're buying properties. And listen, I believe you make your money on the buy. And, you know, when you need to buy right, or else it's going to completely mess up your pro forma. It's going to mess up your numbers and what you expect to get from this property. So let's talk about what is the first mistake you see investors making?
Not if you see the house on a sunny day or on a wet day, and either one, you got to really envision, how does the water move away from the house? Is the house properly set up to drain away from the house? Are there gutters up there? Are there gutter extenders to move the water away from the house? If it's on a sunny day, you just have to really kind of look at the contour of the land and see if that's going to be an issue.
So look
at the side of the house and see if you see any water lines on the house where there was standing water.
So what you're saying is mistake number one is investors don't really examine how water is running into or away from the property.
Correct.
And that's easy to miss. It's definitely easy to miss on a sunny day, right? Because you just don't see it.
You don't think of it.
You don't think about it. Yeah. I think this is interesting. We were out at that Jackson property, and we were shooting this video for our YouTube channel. And that's one of the things that you started talking about was when we were outside, you started saying, you know, let's look at the trees are away from the house. The yard looks like it's, you know, the front yard looks like everything is sloping down towards the street, which is great. So that you made a comment of that. And then we went in the backyard and there was a standing water. Of course, we were there and it was raining and there's a standing water right in the backyard. We would not have seen that had, you know, had we been there on a sunny day. However, it wasn't coming in and ruining the house.
Not at all. The house was graded properly. It just had a little low spot in the backyard that needs to be addressed.
I think that's important, though. I think this is a really important part to talk about because even if you don't see any damage inside the house, when you're talking about water, how it comes off the roof, how it comes through gutters, I mean, I have had houses that didn't have gutters and I thought, well, that's not really that big of a deal. And oh my goodness, I paid for that later. It may not be very evident right then, but I paid for it later with a basement that started, like you said, I had some residents move out. They had turned the air off. It was in the middle of summer. And guess what happened? I got water down in my basement. And what started to happen? The MLS, the mold-like substance started. It was like unavoidable. It was unavoidable.
And it's like this. It happens overnight.
Yes.
It really is. It's those spores are there. They're just waiting for a little bit of food.
Yeah. And then what happens is you got to cut out all the sheetrock. You got to, you know, you got to put gutters. You got to clean gutters or put gutters on. I mean, it can cost a lot of money. So that's number one. Anything else you'd say about that?
You know, not having your utilities on and not doing a proper sewer inspection. Can you do a sewer inspection without a sewer line camera? Yes, you can.
Okay, so you're going on to number two.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm out.
That's all right. That's all right. You know, so the second mistake, what you're saying is investors are not inspecting the sewer lines.
Correct.
We have a videographer on our team now, and he and I went and met Craig out of the house. And when we pulled up, that's exactly what you were doing. You were out there with I guess you had a camera down in the sewer line, just making sure. What were you looking for?
I was looking for roots, blockage, any breakage in the line. I have a 100-foot camera that can get you most of the way to the street. Sometimes if you have to go through the roof and down a vent line, you don't get very far with a 100-foot scope.
Right.
But it'll give you an idea if you're having issues. So
what is a typical investor? I mean, because we're not talking about people who walk around with 100-foot scopes.
The typical investor, and this was me at the beginning, is that we didn't want to spend $250 on a house we might not buy. So but that 200, if you go out and you have drain lines that seem to be slow, fill up your bathtub, fill up your kitchen sinks, let them all drain at the same time. If things are slow, it could be one of two things. It could be blockage close to the P-trap, especially in a kitchen where grease is poured down it. In the bathroom, it could be blockage due to hair and soap. And you know, there could be a lot of things that cause that. But if the house doesn't drain right and you don't identify it at the beginning of the renovation, or prior to the renovation or prior to buying, you could be out easily anywhere from $2,500 to $4,500 in a main line, sometimes more. I mean, I honestly, I've seen them as low as $1,200 to get a main line replaced.
I think the older the house that you're actually looking at buying, like the more serious you definitely need to take this.
Yeah, galvanized and cast iron will corrode over time and create smaller and smaller holes. It's like your arteries clogging after eating steak three nights a week for 53 years, like myself.
Right. You need to get that checked out. No, you're
probably
right. You know, also, I know that really old houses have what, like clay piping sometimes. I mean,
I've seen clay piping in Jackson, Mississippi. I've seen the strangest one is rolled asphalt.
What?
Yeah, they made pipes out of rolled asphalt, like the shingle company said, hey, we should get into the pipe business. And those collapse over time. I mean, at the time, they were probably an economical way to save some money. But when you're in an area like Mississippi, where you have a lot of movement due to the clay content and the expanding and contracting of the clay, that's not going to be very successful. And trees will go through galvanized pipes after years, and clay.
So you get a lot of roots.
You get a lot of roots. Roots are easy to identify with a drainline camera. I mean, you just come up along them and there's paper stuck to them.
But you can, with roots, you can cut those roots, but ultimately though, like they're going to keep coming back. Is that correct?
Yes.
Until you replace that with PVC.
Replace it with a solid line of PVC. That's correct. As much as you can.
Yeah. I had this issue at one of my rental houses, super old, probably built in the 1920s, kept getting roots. So I kept, you know, going out there and having somebody clean it out, but it just kept coming back. There was really, but I didn't want to pay, you know, several thousand dollars to dig up the line and replace it.
No,
at the time,
you know, it's a darned if you do, darned if you don't thing, but I always, I'm a proponent to having a camera yourself for the inspector. It is an expensive tool, but
how much the camera costs?
Camera and locator will cost you about $5,000 or $6,000.
Okay.
And that's what I have.
So if you're a local, investor, you're in Atlanta, it might be worth the investment to do that. But a lot of people are out of state. So what we're saying is you need to, whatever house you're thinking about buying, I would, according to Craig here, definitely check out those lines and have them scoped out.
And honestly, if you catch one or two of them prior to your due diligence being over and being able to adjust your pricing for it, you're going to save that $250 that you spent on the house that you didn't buy. Camera company come out there, and then you could pre-negotiate this with a plumbing company or a location company and say, hey, I'm going to buy 100 houses in Atlanta. I need to have them scoped. Some of them I'll buy and some of them I won't buy. Maybe you can get a discount for the houses you don't buy. Maybe you could just get a bulk rate for them and say, I'm going to use you every time. I'm going to give you a 2-day notice. We need you to get out there. There's all sorts of ways to do this.
Yeah, I'm going to refer you to my friends. I have a lot of investor friends. I'll refer you. Give me a discount. I'll refer you to several people. So yeah, I think you could probably work a deal like that.
Correct.
Even if you're not going to buy 100 houses in Atlanta, even if you're going to buy, you know, 10 or 15 or 20, you could probably work a deal with somebody. So, but it's really, really important. Okay, so let's move on to number three. What's the third mistake that you see investors making when they're doing their initial inspection?
Not having utilities on.
That's a pain in the neck sometimes.
It is, especially when you're buying a wholesale house that's been empty for a while.
That's true. You literally, like, I can't tell you how many houses I bought where I just, like, there was no utilities. It was, you know, whatever kind of situation it was and been vacant for a while. We were always looking for rotten wood and peeling paint. Go and walk the property. All the utilities are out. It's freezing in there in the wintertime. And I look at it and I go, yeah, it's good. Like, this is, it's the path of least resistance. And that's what people typically do.
And I did that more times than I ever want to tell anybody.
So what is the issue that arises typically or can arise?
Well, you get into a house that's been wired improperly and you don't have proper grounds on it. So then you have the expense of either putting in an arc fault ground fault breaker at the box or going section by section and putting a GFCI on the very first run of anything. So, I mean, it's an identification process. People cut wires. You go up in an attic and you see extension cords used as wiring that they've done. It's amazing. And, you know, improper wiring will burn down a house in a heartbeat. You turn that power back on, they overload the system, and all of a sudden you got a fire in a burnt down house that you just renovated. So there's a lot of danger involved in that. Water is obvious. You just don't know if it's draining right. Gas is not as obvious because the only thing that you worry about with gas is if it's been off for more than 3 to 6 months in certain markets, they'll make you do a pressure test.
Yeah, right.
And when you do a pressure test, you bring in the gas company. The gas company goes, oh, wait, you forgot to look at this vent over here. This vent isn't proper anymore. It's not up to code. You need to change this. So you miss a lot of things on that. But gas is the least important out of the three utilities of water, electricity, and gas.
You're saying,
but it's still important.
Yeah, still important. That's right. Yep. And I think the amazing thing, like just these three that you've mentioned, like noticing where water and how water's draining to or from the house, looking at the sewer line, and then this one, like having all the utilities on, like these could be like I probably have looked at or bought houses where I didn't do any of these things. Like I know I did. And probably it's cost me thousands of dollars because I do know that I've replaced a lot of soffit in my life and a lot of fascia, and I've had MLS, mold-like substances in houses. I've done all this crap and I've made all these mistakes. And, yep, and I'm guessing you have too.
Oh, more than I could count. And my inspectors have done it too. So sometimes I haven't been able to get out to a house and I can't see those issues on the pictures.
Yeah.
And then the sneaky last one that I always think of that we forget to do is getting in the attic and looking in the crawl space.
Yeah. This is a bonus.
This is a bonus. I've missed things in the attic, like not having enough insulation or going up in an attic and finding three dumpsters full of stuff left behind. And yeah. the same with the crawl space, not identifying active leaks or seeing if you have a crawl space that's 4 feet high, you might actually have people stuffing all their other stuff underneath there. So it's a garbage thing. It's a leak thing. And it's just kind of the use of the house. So having that or seeing a fire in the attic, I've seen where there's a fire wasn't disclosed. And you go up there and you're like, oh my gosh, there's charred black wood up here.
Wow. So what do you do in that? Well, I guess you're going to have to, reframe that part of the
Reframe it or put sister joists on it, spray it with some kills just to kill the paint, the smell up there. I've done it all.
All of these things, you can buy a house with all these issues, but you just need to put them in your numbers. Like you need to put
yes,
replacing, repairing, and dealing with this stuff in your numbers before you buy the property.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's good. All four of those are really, really good, Craig, and I've made all four of those mistakes. And I'm guessing that, you know, the out-of-state investors who are listening to us, see, the thing is, we investors, we are so, especially in today's tight market where competition is at an all-time high, we are so anxious to get deals that will cut corners to do that. And that is absolutely the wrong thing to do, because when you cut corners, you are cutting your profits. You're going to cut down your return on investment. And so kind of finally, I guess, Craig, your advice is if you're an out-of-state investor, if you're a local investor, you need to be putting eyeballs on all of these things. You need to be doing this work. Obviously you can hire somebody, but you need to be at that property looking at it. If you have an out-of-state buyer, what's your advice to them? And they're dealing with a real estate agent. So maybe they're not dealing with somebody like, you know, one of our agents, our broker agents we're connected with you. So you're in charge of all this. But if it's just an agent and they're making offers off of MLS, what's your advice to these investors from out of state?
Making sure you have a full scope of work, pre-purchase inspection with hundreds of pictures, minimum of 100 pictures. I've looked at over 500 pictures of properties, you know, on one inspection, and also having somebody trusted on the ground that you know, kind of a doomsday guy, a guy that goes right into the worst case scenario.
Yeah, this worst case scenario.
And just having somebody that is really thorough. I mean, it truly takes me to do a thorough pre-purchase inspection anywhere from an hour and a half to 3 hours on a house, depending on if I have to crawl underneath the house or in the attic or how much work is needed. And just being thorough and being able to look at something that's step by step by step of what needs to be done. And then you can make your best guess as to if this is going to work for you, or you could delete some of the items that I might come up with that would still work for you and get the house up to snuff.
Yeah, I think that's highly important. I mean, let me ask you this. Will a typical inspection, you know, people buy inspections, so you have an inspector go out and do it. Will they catch this stuff, or they're not really?
Yes and no.
I mean, they're looking up in some of the attic and stuff like that, but they're not going to put a scope down a sewer line.
They're not. They're going to give you a broad spectrum of things, and it's a cross-reference to a contractor or an inspector
yeah,
like myself.
Well, Craig, this has been great, man. I appreciate your knowledge, your experience, always insightful, always learning something from you. So appreciate you being here. And listen, if you want to see Craig in action walking through a property, go check out our YouTube channel. You can see the Jackson property that we walked together. We're also going to be buying a house in Atlanta. We're going to buy houses in every market that we're in. So, I don't know, 14 different markets right now: Columbus, Detroit, Little Rock, Nashville. So we're going to be buying them all over the place. So, all right, everybody, if you haven't already, love for you to leave us a 5-star review on Apple iTunes. Leave a comment. It'd be great to hear. And we'll be back with another episode of the Atlanta Real Estate Investor Podcast.
Have a good day.
Thanks, man.